Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Thursday morning. Appreciate all the feedback and participation in the first hour of the show. The Titans have announced that after conversations this morning, the team has decided to cancel today's practice. Zoom interviews with Mike Vrabel and players will happen at a time later today. That coming from the Titans. Speaking of the Titans, former Titans general manager Floyd Reiss is on the line with us. He can be heard every day, Monday through Friday, starting at 2 o'clock until 6 p.m. Floyd, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys today?
Well, we're hanging in there, going along with the theme of 2020. You know, the shows certainly have not been the normal shows that we've been accustomed to over the years, and that's fine. Life does present this, and this is what we have to do. I feel like we have to talk about this stuff. It's important.
These things are sometimes good because they make you really appreciate normal.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. No kidding. Amen to that. How do you think you would handle, you just heard what I read, Titans have decided, like a lot of teams, I know the Packers and the Colts and others, have decided to bag practice today under these circumstances. How do you think you would have handled it if you were John Robinson today?
You know, probably in exactly the same way. I mean, the only thing that would have mattered to me was that we did it as a team. You know, I would have hated it had we had, you know, 50% of the guys say we're not going to practice and 50% say, yeah, we are. From what I understand, this was a team decision. The players all sat down, discussed it, decided this is what they were going to do. Vrabel and J-Rob backed them, which was the smart and right thing to do. And now I think the players are going to be in some sort of meeting or discussion and maybe see if they can maybe do a little bit more this afternoon to bring a little bit of light on this whole thing.
Did you have anything like this at all when you were the general manager?
You know, I don't. I mean, we had 9/11, you know, things like that. But I'm not sure that directly affected football as much, as crazy as that sounds. But, you know, I think players and just people and the general public in the last 6 months, you know, since the Floyd event in New York, I think the awareness of the general public has skyrocketed. And I think that people are much more aware and in tune and realizing that, hey, you know what, maybe this is something I need to talk about. Maybe this is something I need to react to rather than, you know, just kind of back off and let somebody else take care of it.
How did you handle, because I kind of know just from stories of, you know, working with Derek Mason and Brad Hopkins and Chris Sanders, a lot of these former players that obviously you drafted and had when you were the general manager, kind of how this works where, you know, if there's something building in the room, in the locker room, and the players have been talking about it, usually how it gets to the head coach is, I guess, the leaders of the group, right? They decide, okay, if they're going to go represent the room and go talk to the head coach about a matter. I don't know how much that stuff goes on, but when it does, how does that dynamic work? Then when the head coach hears out the players with something they're concerned about or they have issue with, then does the coach then go to the general manager and talk to the general manager about it?
You know, that's what we did. I think that's probably, generally speaking, the avenue. And then the general manager would give Amy a call and say, hey, Amy, we're not going to practice today because of, and explain the situation to him. And that's kind of what we did. The players would approach the coach, and the coach would approach the GM. GM would approach the owner, and went about it that way. And as long as the team is unified on whatever it is they're trying to present, I think it, you know, it's hard to say, no, we're not going to do that when you have an entire team that feels that strongly about it. So it was more or less not actually, you know, calling or not actually getting the GM and the head coach looking for an okay as much as just kind of filling them in. You know, hey, we've had an entire team meeting. The entire team decides this is what we need to do to show our support or whatever the case may be. And this is what we want to do. And it's, you know, it was always with us kind of a, okay, I understand, you know, you're all together on this. Yep, we're all together. All right, let's go.
How much did that happen?
Was it not often.
Not often? Okay, yeah. So it wasn't even a once a year thing?
No, it was, if there was something that happened, I mean, it didn't happen as much here as it did in Houston. When we had the 1 year that, you know, we had a player commit suicide and then we had Babygate and then we had coaches punching each other and, you know, those kinds of things where the players would approach you with something like when Jeff Ulm committed suicide, you know, they decided they didn't want to practice and, you know, out of respect. And, you know, what can you say? It was the right thing to do. So you say, yeah, you know, no problem. We understand and we'll adjust later. So, I mean, it's happened a handful of times, but not, you know, near as many as we could potentially, you know, be looking at now. This is going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
Those years in Houston, Floyd, may have been preparing you for 2020.
There was, seems like about every, you know, 15, 20 years, you got to have some of this.
Willie?
Floyd, we had a great conversation a couple of months ago with Rashawn Evans, and it just makes me think, I'm pretty excited to hear what the Titans say in the Zoom calls. I'm sure they're going to take a lot of time, put a lot of thought into it, and I think you're going to hear some powerful stuff coming from them. And I think Mike Vrabel is excellent about giving them the form. I think he'll be proactive about it. I've seen some of the stuff the Titans have done on social media. I've been impressed. I want to throw this to you just sort of a general thing about football and why maybe one of the reasons why we love football beyond just the game itself. And I think this could be corny to say, but remember the Titans, I think, does a pretty good job of illustrating this part of it, right? I love all the walks of life that come together in a big group that you have on a football team. And I think you can have a lot of these valuable discussions that we're kind of trying to have today just in a locker room. I think it helps you become a better person in a lot of ways. That's one thing that I love about football.
And it's interesting because when you've been in that environment, which you have, Willie, but you're in that environment, you know, things that are kind of run-of-the-mill every day, you know, the racism and the bias and the prejudice and the hatred and all of those kinds of things. If you have a good locker room, I mean, those things really don't exist. You know, you don't have, or I never witnessed guys sitting around and getting in real heated arguments about, well, we can't do that or we can do that. Because so many of those guys are kind of the same mindset and they understand it and they can appreciate it and maybe not quite support it as much as another guy, but because he's my teammate and he feels so passionate about it, then I'm going to lean that way too. And I think we saw an awful lot of not sympathy, but kind of a understanding and I'm understanding what you're saying. Yeah. May not completely agree with it, but that's, you know, I'm willing to support you and suffer the consequences, whatever they may be.
Floyd, we've all been watching as we do every year, the Hard Knocks, and it really gives a good perspective. I can't wait to see what happens in the coming weeks with all that's happened in the last 48 hours as they document the reaction of the Rams and the Chargers. But it just dawns on me as we sort of break away from the social issue, just the challenge in front of every NFL team and every sports team, really, that's trying to do everything they can to get their work in and build towards something. The question was asked a lot back in March, you know, what will it mean to win a championship or have a lot of success with all that's going on. And I think it'll be especially rewarding, even if there's not the full fans in the stands or things like that. It is going to be different. But meeting that challenge as a group and doing everything that everybody has to do just to play is really a special thing. I hope that they keep going through this and can get through it, just because I think it'll be very rewarding at the end if they can get there.
Yeah, and I think I would agree with you, William. And I think that how you react, how you as a group handle this whole thing, and how you're able to not forget it, but you know, when time comes to do your work, you can focus on your work, knowing that immediately after this, you may, you know, be looking in a different direction. That real mature kind of an attitude about things like this will have as much to determine, you know, who the championship teams are, as maybe just personnel, you know, as play, because it's going to be so, so important. And if you're not really careful with who you have in the locker room, how you react to some of the players in the locker room, how you react to the team setting and things like that, I'm going to tell you what, you may, as a coach or a general manager or somebody in charge, create as much turmoil and you know, ill will as anything that's happening outside. So you have to be very smart, very calculated, you know your players, know the difference, you know what they're thinking as what is right and wrong, and understanding that is going to be so, so big, I think, for all of these guys. I mean, this is, you know, this where you generally speaking, to be a football guy, all you had to have was a degree in football. Well, now you're going to have a little bit of football, a little bit of morality, a little bit of common sense, a little bit of, you know,
yeah,
you're going to have
life
to
skills.
Have about 10 or 12
yeah.
degrees to have a chance.
We're talking to Floyd Reese, former Titans general manager, and, of course, you can hear him, part of Jared and the GM, 2 to 6 weekdays here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So, Floyd, one thing I started off the show of talking about with these guys is just that, you know, I have the thoughts in my head. I don't know exactly how to convey, you know, the message sometimes, that's a difficult part. You gave a few examples of things that you had to address in your career and situations that you were put in, but how difficult was it as somebody that you're looked at, you are a part of the leadership, you're the general manager of the team, that if you didn't have all the answers, that you looked at the team and you said, guys, I don't have all the answers. And how hard was it for you to admit that sometimes and to have those conversations, whether it was with the coaches or the players?
You know, it was interesting because when I was coaching, I under the same staff, we had a guy named Rick Verzano was our head coach. And Rick's attitude was, don't ever show a player that you don't know. You know, he felt like that was just so important. On the same staff, I worked with a guy named Fritz Schirmer, who was the head coach at Wyoming. You guys won't remember this, but there was a big black issue at Wyoming. And he was the head coach that kind of pull that team through it. And Fritz used to say, if you don't know, tell them you don't know and that you will immediately find out. Because he always thought it was worse to tell somebody that you know it when you really don't and you mess it up. And I think that's kind of, you know, we're looking at a bunch of this and everybody's kind of thinking that same thing, which is, you know what, guys, I don't have all the answers here, and I feel strongly about, you know, support this way or the other. And, you know, if the team feels the same way, then that's great. You know, then you guys are all on the same page. And I think right now, you know, you look at one of the great things in my mind about J-Rob and Mike is that they're both young guys. In my world, they're young guys. So it's easier for them to do this. If it was, you know, some 72-year-old fat white guy like me, it might be harder, you know, for me to say, well, wait a minute now, guys, you know, your brain is telling you, yeah, that's what you should do. But you know, maybe your heart and your beliefs are telling you something else. So, you know, this is, we've always said football and sports and professional sports, you know, is kind of a young man's game. And I think that is becoming even more and more true in executive positions. You know, you have to have those guys that are smart enough and experienced enough and have enough understanding and yet are aware of what's going on in the world in 2020.
News coming down, it looks like the NBA will resume the playoffs. Games today likely to be postponed, but the players have agreed that they're going to resume the playoffs here soon. So more on that coming up. But one thing that I brought up earlier too, Floyd, was that, you know, if you were in a group that decided, all right, we're not going to play, and so the NBA, they don't play last night, and the NHL, they do play, and some baseball teams played, some didn't. MLS, it turned out Nashville SC Orlando was the only game that took place last night. The Titans are one of, I believe, seven teams right now that aren't practicing today. But how important is it to say, to get the message across of you can do it in your own way? You can try and create change and get your message across in your own way. And just because one team or league does it one way doesn't mean you have to. And I think that's what's so hard is where I'm going with this, of getting people to understand that there are multiple ways to get to the same point.
Well, yeah, I agree 1,000%. I think the same concern that the Detroit Lions, which oddly enough was the team that started this whole thing, you know, the concern they had when they said, we're not going to practice, what was it, 2 days ago? Even before the Wisconsin teams responded.
Right.
You know, they came out and said, okay, we're not going to practice. Well, that same concern and understanding, I think, like you said, has to be given to some of these teams that, for whatever reason, felt like that was not the thing for them to do. And I don't know what the reasoning or the logic is behind it, but, you know, I think this works both ways, and it's going to be really, really important through this whole process that everybody understands that and everybody realizes that and they can handle it that way. Otherwise, you're going to end up with just what we were talking about before when you're concerned about your team. You're going to end up with the AFC South, you know, because Houston and Tennessee didn't practice or did whatever they were going to do to show concern, and Jacksonville and Indy didn't, that now there's a tremendous hatred, you know, built up over, you know, something other than just the sport. So it's going to take some understanding by everybody to get through this, but, you know, we've kind of been through that. The hard part anymore, as we all know, is the way that the politics are going and the way that, you know, there's such division on so many different fronts, you know, to see a group that is united and see a group that is have the same beliefs is the exception rather than the rule. And it should be the rule, but that's, you know, not the way it is. And so I think everybody's going to have a little bit of understanding on that level.
He is the GM. Floyd Reese does a great job alongside Jared. Jared and the GM, 2 to 6 weekdays here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Floyd, appreciate it as always, and we'll be listening this afternoon.
Thanks, guys.
The GM, Floyd Reese. A lot to dissect there, and again, we welcome your calls and your texts as we have the conversation with you, 615-737-1025. Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, going to join us a little later on today as well. We'll be back. More Darren Donican, Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Chance, show your support for the 7th Annual Brentwood Battle of the Badges Blood Drive. That's between the Brentwood Fire and Police Departments, Williamson County Sheriff's Office, and the Fraternal Order of Police. That's sponsored by BL Harbert International at the Brentwood Library, 8109 Concord Road. That is today. Brentwood Library, 8109 Concord Road today. Every 2 seconds, someone needs blood. The Red Cross is currently facing an emergency blood shortage, which means blood is being distributed to hospitals faster than donations are coming in. Come out and register to win prizes and support the 7th annual Brentwood Battle of the Badges Blood Drive. That's today at the Brentwood Library, 8109 Concord Road. That blood drive will go on until 6 p.m. today. 6 p.m. today. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, the Titans have decided not to have practice today, like a lot of teams around the league. The Packers, the Colts, and others have decided to bag today's practice. The NBA got together today, and guys, it looks like they've come away, at least it's being reported, with a decision.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to resume the playoffs. What I'm seeing is today's games will be postponed, but they are going to resume the playoffs. Discussions are underway on when those games will resume, so looking like they won't play today.
I was going to say, I'm seeing nothing today, but probably Friday.
Yeah.
Resuming.
Yeah. So that's what I'm seeing too. So that shows you that, and this wasn't like just a 10-minute meeting today. I mean, they started meeting last night and then resumed this morning. So these have obviously been some, big conversations that have been had.
And it was reported last night, you guys probably saw it, like a lot of people, it looked like the two Los Angeles teams were ready to say, that's it. We're out. We can't do this anymore. We need to get home. And more voted no. So they had to come back to the table today. I think it's very wise to take another day.
Yeah, I agree.
And Howard Bryant, who I think is an amazing writer, he wrote a column for ESPN, and I think it was Floyd that brought up 9/11, and this is obviously a completely different set of circumstances, but the feeling, the parallel feeling, is one that I think Howard Bryant captures here. He said everyone in America knows what the players are feeling right now because they felt it themselves when the pain that lives down deep rises up and paralyzes them, body, heart, and mind. And playing a game really doesn't matter. Nothing feels like it matters. We did kind of have that feeling in September 11th, right? You just stop. You get numb. You can't really function. I think that was a feeling that a lot of people had. Just look at the video of Dominic Smith talking about how he tried to get through the game last night for the Mets, and he just says, I wasn't all there. So taking another day, even if it's not, jumping around and saying we're protesting, it's just a day of reflection as much as anything and regrouping, and then you're ready then to get back to it and play and try to win a championship for the teams that are still there. I think that's a wise decision. And I would have supported them if they'd have said, hey, we need to go home. We need to go to our respective communities and start working on this project. I think both would have been commendable, but I kind of thought this is what they would do in my gut, but they've made the decision. I think it's a good decision.
I think you said it best. Waiting and that, I think not making a decision in the moment.
Sure.
Right. We always are told don't. It's kind of like give it 60 seconds before you hit send. Right. Our buddy Herm Edwards. That's probably – you don't want to make that decision in the moment because you're probably making a decision in the moment, and in the moment means, yeah, you're probably exactly walking away for sure. And I think you sleep on it, you come back. If you still feel the same exact way, then obviously that's probably the direction of that meeting. But, look, you're right. I mean, no matter what they came away with, what they feel like was best for them – was going to be the right decision because they ultimately have to decide what they feel is best. I just want to go back to, you know, something we were talking about before, and we'll have – hopefully, I think we may have to
– Chris is going to join us in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, so we're trying to juggle some things around, so we appreciate him doing that. We're going to carry some of the Titans stuff in the third hour live because we want to hear their reaction. We want to hear what these players have to say. We want to hear what the head coach has to say. So we're moving some things around to do that in the third hour. But I go back to – so, okay – You're sending a loud message, okay? It's actions. It's not just words, and that's great. We talk about that a lot on this show. Sometimes, you know, just talking, it's just words. It's hollow. It's just like my tweet last week on Milbury. I'm like, dude, nobody wants to hear your apologies anymore. They're hollow comments. They're just words. That's it. It's a hollow apology. It's words. It's time for you to start having actions, not just words. And... But I want to know, so what do you do? So what can they do? How does this get going? Kind of going back to our discussion before, what can they do to get this going in the right direction? What can professional athletes that have platforms, what can they do? They've done this, okay, but how does that change a problem, right? How does that change a problem within a police department or police departments, obviously? That's what I want to know, and I don't know if Chris has any answers. He'll have thoughts. I know Chris always does, but I would be curious to know how, you know, he's got that mindset of being a former professional athlete. How do you go about trying to change something? How do you go about, you know, making sure that this gets louder and louder and louder? I don't know if you guys saw what the Lions, you know, some of the, I guess, poster board that they put up, some like that they were holding for pictures, you know, that. They're not running from this. They're basically saying, we're going to be right here in front of you, and that's why I'm saying being loud, that's fine. Getting people's attention is fine, but ultimately how do you go about trying to really make a change, really fix this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've discussed some of it. I think Tony Kemp's method of continuing to have important, meaningful, sometimes uncomfortable conversations with people from different backgrounds, I do think that can create change little by little. If everybody individually takes that, that's the plus one effect. That's where that comes from. I think that can be meaningful. And it starts with it's everybody doing little things. And I think overall that could have a collective change. The other part is very tangible, and that's activating people to get involved in the process that maybe haven't been before. And that is, you know, with simply voting, right? Learning more. I'll be the first to tell you, I can't name every judge and every elected official that I have the right to vote for when I go over and vote. And I don't just vote in the presidential election. I vote in a lot of the other things, not every one. I don't have perfect attendance of those things. But I also find myself challenging myself sometimes to know, you know, who is the judge that we elect in our little neighborhood, right? Who's our representative? Who's our city councilman? How many of those people can you name? Well, I think a lot of people are all over the spectrum, and I think that's part of something that can lead to change. That's why I use the example of the NFL players just simply putting out a message. Time to vote. 40% of our population hasn't voted. Get in the game.
Yeah.
That's how you can create policies. That's how you can create what we're looking for.
But Darren, I think it's a great question of, okay, how does the change happen now? And I have seen, you know, different interviews where that's come up and, you know, that question has been asked, and now it's time for us to find an answer. I think this is all great to show solidarity, to show, okay, we hear you, we are all on the same page, we're going to do this together, but then what's the next step? What's next? And that's the tough part. That's what we're trying to, you know, we're trying to do.
But do you guys agree? Are those two examples legit examples? To answer your question,
what's that?
What I just said. Obviously, you weren't listening. Was it the
I was listening.
Policy.
No, I was absolutely listening. I wasn't sure what you specifically meant. As for the voting.
Do you agree
part,
that's a way to
the voting?
I think that's why I answer your question. Your question is, how do you go from this desire, this protest, this making noise and trying to get people's attention? How do you turn that into meaningful change? To me, that's how I answer the question. I don't know if you guys agree. I think we'll all continue to have that.
No, I do, and I don't want to turn this into, you know, politics. One thing, this is just me talking out loud, and like I said, I don't want to turn into this. Something that I've always struggled with, because I'm with you. I mean, I'm not perfect on going, you know. It's not just the presidential election, but I'm certainly not there at the polls all the time. What I struggle with and what I've always struggled with is, you know, one, you guys know me. I don't ever talk politics, ever. I mean, sports is my world, and that's
right.
I stay in my lane. But I know it's also important as a citizen to do your thing. What I struggle with is I don't know anything about these people. I truly don't. Like, we see their ads until we're ready to throw up. Like, I get it. Okay, I know the names. I get it. You're on every commercial break. I know you're. But truly, what do we know about them? I don't know them. I don't really know what they're about. I don't know if they're a good human being or if they're a bad human being. I don't know if they have good intentions or they just got selfish intentions. They just can't wait to get in there and do their own thing. That's the problem that I struggle with.
Oh, yeah. I don't know their resume.
I don't know anything about them other than ads.
I think that's a big part of the issue. And so the more you can engage and learn about
these
people.
How do you do that when we live in a – I live in a sports
world. It's
hard.
I know. We all have our own worlds, right? People listening have their job, and you know they don't have all day to do these things. That's part of the disconnect. Maybe we take it a step further. Some of the players – that are passionate about this, they could end up being great leaders, whether it's running for mayor or running for a governor or something even smaller, like just running for your city councilman someday when those playing days are over. That could be something that they're inspired to do one day. I'm just thinking of different ways that you carry this desire, this cause into meaningful change.
Yeah, I'm with you on it. That's one thing I would love to see change, and I don't have a clue how you change it.
Because you're asking the hardest question that there is, right? But it all starts with this, right? Awareness. And then the hard part is carrying it through to getting there. And that's why I think you see the extreme frustration, because we just had this conversation after George Floyd, and now we're having the same conversation. To me, I was devastated to see that. I think we all were. We were appalled. Another one? Come on. You know, we can't believe what we're seeing here. And so you feel like all this effort that we've made, all of these discussions we've had, haven't gotten us anywhere yet.
Barry Trotz says his players are having a discussion about whether or not they will play tonight. He believes the Islanders-Flyers game will go ahead, but believes it's important for the players to use their platforms. That coming from Chris Johnston. Just wanted to pass that along. He literally just tweeted that out. Well, come back.
And let me say quickly that they were put in a very tough position, right? Because when all this was starting to go down, they were literally playing their game, the Islanders and the Flyers. They come off the ice. It's an overtime game. It's a playoff game, a huge game. And they get hit with all these questions, and they weren't even really fully aware of the situation. I thought they did the best they could.
That's kind of what happened with Nashville SC as well.
Yeah.
The Titans have changed some things too. They're moving availability to 12:30. It was originally going to be noon. So a lot of moving parts that we will try to bring you that once it happens. But just pass that along.
Come back and wrap up the hour with Chris Sanders next. Back on Darren Donovan Chase here on this Thursday. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Let's bring in Forever Titan Chris Sanders. Chris, how the heck are you, man?
Hey, you doing all right? It's good to hear y'all's voice, man. Glad y'all doing well.
Yeah. Obviously, another tough subject to tackle again. And I hate sometimes. Well, we do. We're pretty consistent. We try to have you on and have fun, and then we try to
have you on
when it's time to talk serious. And we appreciate that about you. You're a former professional player, you're a coach now, and so you deal with young men on the high school level. How do we truly go about tackling this and really, really affecting change in a mentality? How do you go about that? What's the best way? How would you answer that?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. You're talking about a situation that happened a couple of days ago with the black kid, the black guy?
In Kenosha, yes.
Yeah.
And then what's going on in sports right now?
Yeah, it's just wild because we're back at square one again. I mean, we keep talking about awareness and, you know, letting people know, but why do we keep coming back to the same situation? And the reason why we keep coming to the back situation because there's no game plan. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like playing football on the street. You keep scraping up your knee and you keep putting a band-aid on it, but you're wondering why the wound keeps opening up because you're not putting the right ointment on to make sure it's healed. And that's what we're doing is we're just putting band-aids over situations that are happening over and over again, as opposed to getting the right thing so people can heal their hearts. We just keep saying the same thing over and over and over. Then we'll stop for a second, and then another situation happens again. Then we get back to the awareness thing. We got to get past the awareness thing and come up with a game plan to make sure these situations stop.
So what's the right ointment?
The right ointment, man, is, and I'm not trying to preach or anything, is we got to – I know we're coming up with a lot of policies to get racism and things out of the, you know, different situations. But if we don't change a person's heart, the situation's not going to change. And when I say change a person's heart, it's got to start in the household. I mean, it starts with the parents of talking to their kids about what's right and what's wrong and how to love a different person of a different ethnicity. That's how the change is going to start. It's not going to change by having a whole bunch of policies, because if a person's heart's not changed, then the behavior's not going to change. So if we can teach kids at a young age to treat each other with respect and to treat each other with kindness, to treat each other with this audacity of loving each other, then now we can start having change. But if we just keep talking about it and talking about awareness but don't have a game plan, we're going to be in the exact situation in two more years.
The Titans have decided today not to practice like a lot of other NFL teams today.
Yeah.
How do you think you would have handled our current state right now of what's going on if you were still playing? What do you think you would be saying in a room?
What would I be saying in the room? I mean, I'll be saying the exact same thing. When is enough is enough? And I'm not just talking about whites against blacks or blacks against whites. I'm talking about all ethnicities. You know, how can we not just talk about the problem but really solve the problem? I mean, we've been saying this for about 25 years. Yeah, we're aware of it. You know, we're aware of the injustices, not just with blacks, but with all ethnicities. When are we going to come to the table, break bread, and come up with a game plan to tackle this situation? I mean, we've been talking about this for 2 years, and it just breaks my heart because we're back in the same situation that we were about 5 or 6 months ago. I mean, nothing's changed.
Chris Sanders is with us. Chris, you talked about changing people's hearts. I think that's a great way of putting it. I'm just curious, you know, in your days as a teammate and now as a mentor, you're a coach for young players. How do you feel you've done in that area? I look at myself in the mirror and I ask myself, what can I do? How can I be better? And I think about those things. Yeah. Do you think you've changed some people's hearts over time?
Because I
think we all, the three of us on our show, probably believe you're a great catalyst for that kind of thing.
Yeah. You know, the reason why my heart has changed is because God used two men to change my heart. It was Les Steckel and Sherman Smith. And that's the reason why I coach. I love coaching guys being wide receivers and, you know, making touchdowns and all those great things. But if I don't teach these guys how to be great men, then I failed these guys. I told these guys the other day, you know, we stopped the drill and I said, hey, guys, if I help you guys make touchdowns and help you guys run the right routes or help you guys, you know, catch a touchdown, but I don't teach you guys how to be great men, then I failed you. Listen, I've made mistakes. I'm not acting like I'm Mr. Perfect. I'm not acting like I did everything right. But I take my mistakes and tell the kids, don't make the same mistakes that I made. And that's how change starts. And then on the flip side, too, just make change wherever place you go. Like when you go to the YMCA, open the door for somebody and say, how's your day going? Or going to the gas station and say, you know what, you don't look like me, but I love you. Or going to the restaurant saying thank you, or, you know, how's your day going? That's how change starts. What we try to do is we try to put blame on everybody else. We try to blame the president. Well, he's not doing this. No, why would I blame the president on something that I can do absolutely every day? It's about a heart, man. It's about the attitude of saying, you know what, let me put myself to the side and let me help somebody else. That's how change starts.
Chris, I think you've illustrated another example of where sports can be a great catalyst to have these kind of conversations and value that goes beyond who wins the game on Friday night. I know right now you're the school you coach for is in Davidson County. They're not playing right now. At some point, hopefully you guys will be able to do that. But it's I know it's got to be a challenge for the guys. I know they want to play games and stuff. But I think isn't this a great illustration of why it's important to gather, right, as a group? You're working on your game, but you're also learning a lot of life lessons like this.
Yeah, you're right, man. We're talking about life. And if we talk about life, then we do life together in the trenches, off the field. I mean, I have a guy on my football that I coach at wide receivers, and his name is Sam Banks. And we just connect. The reason why we connect is because we've been through some same situations, and that's how we make change. It starts with relationships. And I think what the pandemic has done right now, it's taken out the relationship part, and everybody's just focusing on themselves. Once we get back to normal, once we can start talking to each other and bring that relationship piece back, and I'm talking about all ethnicities. I'm not just talking about blacks with blacks or whites with whites or Mexicans with Mexicans. It's about all coming together and start discussing the issues that are going on. Not just discuss them, but sit down and break bread and come up with a game plan. And once we come up with a game plan and we look at each other and say, you know what, I don't care how you look. I don't care where you've been, but I love you. Why? Because you're God's creation. That's why I love you.
Chris Sanders is with us forever. That is good stuff right there. Forever Titans wide receiver. This may be awkward, but I happen to be holding a picture of you while talking to you. That you signed.
Where's this going?
At least it's not a voodoo doll or something.
It's not a voodoo doll. I forgot I had this sitting on my desk, and I'm like, well, this is funny. I do. I do.
I love you too, man.
I do. I love you. You're my guy.
Awkward.
Just having this moment right here.
Awkward.
Chris. Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya.
I needed that.
Is it a break? Is it time to break?
Almost. Here's my question for you.
Sure.
And how you would, because I think one thing that we run into is there are people that, you know, that they don't have a racist bone in their body, and they are, you know, they're good people, but they don't realize that there are things that they do or say that are not the right things to do or say. And it's a completely innocent thing that happens sometimes, and then it all gets lumped together. So, how is an African American man? Do you try and separate and educate somebody that they may make a mistake? They don't realize they're making a mistake, but you have to point that out.
You know, this is what we have to do, especially as a black man. I have to show grace. Just because somebody said something wrong, I don't need to jump down their throat and be like, oh, you should have known this and that. You said the wrong thing. Have a little grace. Say, hey, man, I don't care if you make a mistake, but let me tell you what this really means. You know, and that's what we got to do. What we do is we try to find fun. Oh, you said that wrong. But in actuality, a lot of people just don't know. And until we start having these conversations and give a little grace, then that's when the change can start. I mean, I had a conversation 2 weeks ago with a guy in the gym, and he was talking about, you know, and I'm just going to be honest, what he said. He said, you know, why is the N-word so bad? And I had to explain to him, and once I explained to him, now he's like, oh, wow, now I understand. The reason why a lot of people say stuff wrong is because they just don't understand. And once they understand, then now the behavior can actually. And that's why it goes back to what I said before. When the heart is changed, then now the behavior's changed. And when you touch a person's heart, then all of a sudden their behavior is going to change. And that's exactly what happened in the gym.
Chris, thank you for doing this. And thanks for, you know, we're trying to move things around. It's kind of a crazy day. And we appreciate you accommodating our schedule. Always good to talk to you. We will definitely talk to you soon.
Hey, and the last thing, man, I'm going to be quick. I know a lot of times we joke and laugh on the radio, but I actually want to say I really love you guys. I really, really love you. I love your friendship. I love your heart. And just thank you for being a part of my life and being my brother. You're my brother. Thank you, guys.
We love you, too, and thank you for doing this.
Love you, too, Chris.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks, okay, Chris. Bye-bye.
I'm going to hang your picture up.
Wait, hold on.
I was like, why did you have to keep going back there? All right.
Good conversation.
It was, as always, Forever Titan Chris Sanders. We'll come back. We will we'll head out west. We'll learn a little bit more about the Rams with Eric Williams. We're going to have Titans players hear what they have to say at the bottom of the hour. So that'll be at 12:30. Speaking of shuffling, there's been a lot of shuffling going on over on the Titans end. So we'll try to carry that at 12:30. So we'll come back with Eric Williams to start the third hour. That's next.